The fennel talked about those who do not have the Word of God. And we are fortunate in the Latin, in the Spanish-speaking world, we have an excellent translation of the Word of God. And it's being used and folks are being saved. But in the southern part of Mexico, Guatemala, Belize, and Honduras, and what once was the Mayan nation, they've been identified of some 30 million descendants of the once mighty Mayan nation, and there are 69 known dialects of Mayan. Only four have a reliable translation of the Word of God. Four out of 69. Indonesia. Souls who are trusting another dead religion. That may not be politically correct, but it's the truth. That's why we need to send couples like the Boyles. And then the UK. Wow. What was once the very sending point of missionaries? I've been told, I've seen pictures, I'm not sure if it's true, but the William Carey Hall is now a Muslim meeting hall. Is that true? Have you seen that? I saw slides of that year. I actually saw a slide of that years ago. I remember when Dr. James Ray was the European director with Baptist International Missions that he did a presentation of how that England, the UK, had drifted so far away from its roots. And we were in New England at the time where the gospel was preached by these great men of God. And we went to the monument where David Brainerd's home once stood. We asked, there was a house just probably 100 yards away, and this monument was on their property. We asked the couple there, "Can you tell us anything about this monument? Some famous person used to live there, I don't know." Churches that had closed and now were hardware stores and museums in New England. As we pray and as we send to Thailand, Indonesia, UK, and around the world with the Word of God, let's pray for our nation and reach our nation as well. Take your Bibles, please, and turn again to Romans chapter 10. I want to encourage you, make sure you get to the gym tonight. Prayer cards. Now, got Brother Fennell's card, and his family looks great. Very handsome young men and a beautiful wife, and he's right in the middle. So, pray for him. Got the reeds. We make these prayer cards so that not just because we want you to look at our pictures, we want you to pray for us. And the Housers, the Boyles, you need to be praying. And we pray for that. We appreciate your prayers for the Jones family. But then as you're praying over these prayer cards, the most important card in this missions conference is the faith promise card. Grace giving. What will we do to reach those faces that you saw tonight? What will we do? What can we do? What will God allow you to do to reach those faces? Tonight, again, we will pray and we'll ask God that He would open our eyes as Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. As we open God's word tonight and we study God's word, let's pray that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. Open our spiritual eyes of our hearts and let us see what God has for us tonight. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, break our hearts tonight, Lord. Break our hearts for the souls that do not know you, that have never heard the good news of salvation. Lord, use the word of God in our hearts tonight. Draw us closer to you. Help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask that you would be with me as your messenger, that what I would say would be honoring and glorifying to you. Open our eyes tonight, Father, not only to see the Word of God and what you have for us, but to see the lost and dying around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, 14, and 15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? This is what Missions Conference is all about. Sending the messenger with a message of salvation. The message, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can we do that? We can do that several ways. We can go. Our prayer is that God would touch the lives of a young couple, maybe even an older couple, a teenager. Maybe as the children are out in the other class and they're hearing about missions. Many missionaries tonight that are serving on the field were called as children. Some as teenagers. God called me as a junior in high school. Some, we have a couple coming to BIMI who is, he's a pastor, and they're retiring and they're going to Mexico. They're going to retire in Mexico, but they're not going to retire. They're going to serve God in their latter years, teaching young preachers and their wives in a Bible institute so they can go out and start more churches. Let's pray that God would send laborers to his field. That was the prayer request of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tomorrow morning we're going to have a prayer meeting. The men will gather together and we'll hear prayer requests. And there'll be some about we're praying for some sick folk. We're praying for some folks that need to be saved. We're praying for some homes that need to be healed. But let's not forget the prayer request of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, this has nothing to do with the sermon tonight, but I want to ask you something. What are these laborers? As we're praying the Lord of the harvest, and he knows where the laborers need to be, who are these laborers? If you go like this is, I believe Mark chapter 9 or Matthew chapter 9, when it talks, when the Lord gave that request, he had just seen the multitudes. He had compassion because they were as sheep having no shepherd. That word shepherd is an interesting word. I never understood exactly. Now, I knew a shepherd was one who tends sheep. But once we learned Spanish, you know, we have the word shepherd, and then we have the word pastor. It's the same Greek word. It's the same word in Spanish. Psalm 23 in Spanish reads, well, we say, the Lord is my shepherd. In Spanish, it says, Jehovah es mi pastor. Jesus saw the multitudes. They were scattered abroad as sheep with no shepherd or no pastor. They need these people. The people in Thailand, the people in the UK, the people in the United Kingdom, the people all over Central America and Mexico need pastors who will gather them, win them, teach them, fulfill the Great Commission. Let us pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. How can we do that? How can we send laborers? We can do it through grace giving. If God says, I want you to stay here, I want you to pray for these missionaries, take the cards, I want you to pray for these missionaries, and then I want you to help finance their way through grace giving. How can we do that? Well, we've talked about, on Wednesday night, we talked about that it's a biblical concept. It's that we need to be supporting the work of missions. We need to be giving to missionaries. Last night, we talked about the concept of giving and receiving. How that if we give, we can trust God to meet our needs so that we can continue to give. We said, I said, my definition of faith promise is this. When God's people step out by faith and give so that God's servants can do God's work, God's people can in turn trust God to meet their needs so they can continue to give. You want a biblical example? You remember the widow woman in Zarephath? She was about to die. She had one meal left. And the word of God through the man of God came to her and said, give a little, make a little cake for the man of God first so that he can do God's work. And I'll supply your need. Day by day. That's faith promise. Every day, that little widow woman gave her offering, and every day, God supplied the need until God sent rain. God can still do that today. Well, tonight, I want to look at the last concept of faith promise or grace giving. That's giving by faith. We call it grace giving because everything that we do is by grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor to us. We don't deserve to be involved in this great work, but God, by his grace, allows us to as we place our faith in what thus saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's do that. Let's study this for a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll look at the first 9 verses. God has a plan for us. It's by grace. Now, it's by grace through faith, just like you were saved. We ought to be living every day just as we were saved. That is, as we place our faith in what thus saith the Lord, we make a step of faith and God gives grace, allows us to do the impossible. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 says this, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. This is the only way you can be a liberal Christian in your giving. Amen? For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You see, over and over, grace. Giving is by grace. Just like our salvation, by grace through faith. As we trust God in the promises he's given to us, we give. This is God's unmerited favor. We do not deserve it. We don't deserve to see the faces one day, but God allows us. I want to thank you for the great music we've experienced this week, the great hymn, the singing, the special music. It's been such a blessing. We give by grace. Grace giving is not according to what we have. The churches in Macedonia, not only were they in deep poverty, they were under deep persecution for their testimony. And yet they decided, they made that decision to give so that others could hear. They gave beyond their power. You know, there's three ways to give. You can give less than your power. You're looking at your budget and say, okay, well, I've got $100 extra. I can give 50 and I'll take the other 50 and do something I want to do. Or you can say, according to your power, I've got an extra $100. I can give that. Or you can give beyond your power. I only have $100. I'm going to give two. That's crazy. That's ludicrous. But that honors God. It's beyond their power. These churches in Macedonia gave beyond their power, and the giving is for others. Verse 4 talks about helping those and participating. We're not just a spectator in this. We can participate. As you take on these missionaries and you read the prayer letters from these missionaries and you hear the souls being saved, you're participating. I had the privilege of seeing a video of this. I've told a bunch of people about it. A video presentation for one of our missionaries down in Nicaragua, the Portillo family. They've only been there about 7 years, but they just celebrated the 6th anniversary of the church and had over 300 present, many saved, had a baptism ceremony. They baptized in a kiddie pool because they don't have a building. But God has allowed them to buy some acreage, and they're about to start a building program in a city where the nationals did not want to go because Leon, number one, is the strongest Catholic city in the whole country of Nicaragua. It's also the capital, the first capital of the Sandinistas. This young couple decided we're going to stay, even through all the political unrest, they decided to stay. Angela was coming home one day from the grocery store with two of her babies in a car with her. And she was stopped by three masked men with homemade mortars. But see, those were the good guys. They were rebelling against the socialist regime. When they found out who she was, they directed her home away from all the turmoil so she could get home with her babies with no problem. My wife wrote Angela. We were concerned about their safety and said, now, Angela, don't you think you need to come off the field? Her answer, sure, this is an inconvenience, but we're not leaving the field for an inconvenience. And to see that presentation, to see those people baptized, and to see those people who have been saved. Angela's a nurse. They've been able to get into the hospitals during COVID and minister to the doctors and the nurses. God's doing a great work. And this, the people, the churches who support them are participating in that work. But you know, grace giving is more than just giving an offering. Verse 5 is the key to grace giving. Verse 5 says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." This week, our prayer is that you will give yourselves to God, and then that you'll get to know these missionaries. You'll get to know them, know who they are, what they're doing, and give yourselves to them. Then giving offering is nothing, because you know their heart. Give themselves. It's a work of grace. We've seen this back and forth through this whole passage. Verse 6, insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. See, grace is beyond us. Grace is that power of God that allows us to know the impossible. We cannot save a soul, but we can take the word of God and direct someone as they hear and as they believe and as they call, God's grace is extended and the impossible is accomplished. A soul is saved and born again. Grace. Giving is by grace. It's an act of worship. Verse 7 talks about our worship. Verse 8 talks about the willingness. But verse 9 gives us the great example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." You know, missionaries are concerned about exchange rates. Brother Reed, where are you, brother? Okay, amen. I see that hand. Pastor, you know why Baptist preachers can't be lifeguards? Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. I'm sorry. Brother Reed, do you check the exchange rate when you're in Thailand between the dollar and the local currency? Okay, don't you like it when your dollar buys, well, what is the local currency of Thailand? Baht. Whatever you said. With a B? Baht? Don't you like it when your dollar buys more bahts? Is it bahts is correct? Is the correct way to say it? I don't know. I'm not a financier. But we're always concerned about that exchange rate. Look at this exchange rate. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He exchanged his righteousness for our unrighteousness and gave us his righteousness, and we are now children of God. That's a great exchange rate. We can participate in this great work of seeing souls saved by giving to the work of missions. As we give, knowing that God will meet our needs so we can continue to give, and we will give not because we are able, God is able, and trusting him, and we give by grace. Why? Why do we need to be concerned about all this? Well, we've seen the need. There's a world lost and dying, going to hell. God will one day judge the nations. We've seen that we need to be proclaiming that truth tonight for a few more minutes. Now, if you notice, I'm preaching two sermons every night. If you can't quite, sometimes it's all up here. It just doesn't come out here right, okay? The second message of the night is what happens when the message is received. Turn with me to Psalm 67. Psalm 67, what happens when the message is received. Now, for your theologians in the congregation tonight, this is speaking of the millennial reign of Christ. But the principles here can be applied to those who receive the message. Psalm 67 verse 1 says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his name to shine upon us, Selah. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. This is our goal. Because when the gospel is received, when the message is received, lives are changed. That old drunk, Pedro, when he got saved, God called him to preach. At least 11 churches have been started, probably more by now. You could hear story. I'm sure in this congregation tonight, you can tell me how many of your lives were changed, how you were a filthy, rotten sinner, and God changed your life. God saved your family. God saved your marriage. Because the gospel changes lives. When the gospel is received, it affects others. We know, we've talked about the message, how important it is to get the message out and how the message is needed. But what happens when the message is received? God brings about new life, eternal life, abundant life. And not only the receiver, not only he who receives that message is changed, but those around him are affected as well. Let's take a look at this and make some applications here in Psalm 67. Psalm 67, verses 1, verses 6, and verse 7 talks about the blessings from the Lord. In verse 1, we see the spiritual blessings that God has in store for those who receive the message. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Verse 6. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Do you want God's blessings tonight? How many of you who maybe you've been in a restaurant and you're leaving and someone will say, well, have a blessed day. Has that happened to you? That happens to me. You know what I do? I ask them how. How can I have a blessed day? Some say, do right. I say, the only way you can have a truly blessed day is to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Others, I've asked them that. How can I have a blessed day? They say, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. God's blessings. We want God's blessings. We need God's blessings. When the message is received, God's blessings flow. God's blessings are released from heaven. Spiritual blessing, even physical blessings. Now, God promises physical blessings to the nation of Israel. Ours are even more. We have spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God, but even on this earth, imagine that rotten man who is mistreating his family, who is beating his wife, and God saves him, and that home is restored. The blessings that come as God changes his life. God's blessing. May I also say, when their message is received, we see social reform. Oh, should I even say that in a pulpit? Social reform? But listen, verse 2, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Verse 4, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. God, when so folks get saved, God brings about social reform. You know, change will never come through programs. Change will only come, true change will only come from the heart. Man is wicked and self-centered. Romans 3, 12, the last part says, there is none righteous, no, not one. The only way we're going to see social reform is see the hearts of mankind changed through salvation. There must be a change of heart before there's a change of action and attitude. You know, it doesn't do any good to teach a man to swim in the muck, but we can help him stand once his feet are on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. When people get saved, lives are changed around them. Change will not come from programs, but change will come when folks meet the Lord. Let me tell you about the Diaz family. Brother Jose Diaz, worked with us for many years there in Costa Rica, played the guitar. Brother Jose Diaz and his wife, Sara, they both only had a third grade education. He was a gardener. She worked odd jobs in homes, and they had very, very little, but they were saved as a young couple, and they began to bring their children up in church, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We had the privilege of knowing the Diaz family when their children were growing up. Their children were the same age as our children. They had three. You know, Brother Jose Diaz still is a gardener. His wife still works in homes, but their oldest daughter, she's an accountant, married an accountant, and they work in the accounting field there in Costa Rica. Their oldest son, Roy, is an architect. He graduated university and now works on some of the biggest projects in Costa Rica. Their youngest son, Ronnie, is a computer programmer. Last time we were in Costa Rica, we heard that he and his wife were traveling back and forth to the States and said, why don't you come see us at Christmas? He said, okay, I'm coming. So I think he will. But look at the social change that came because of the gospel. Because this family trusted God. Their children trusted the Lord and were saved, and God brought blessings. People need help. But we can dig a well in a village, but unless we tell them of the living water, that well will do no good. We can send medical teams and heal physical ailments, but unless, as we are doing that, we are telling them about Jesus Christ that will heal their soul. I noticed a box out here at Medical Missions Outreach, Brother Bradley Edmondson. He's a great friend of mine. He's as crazy as I am for Alabama, okay? He's an Alabama fan. Oh, by the way, I appreciate that song you sang tonight. Wafted on the Rolling Tide. Okay, I'm sorry, Pastor. No more. No, that's it, okay? But I've worked with Brother Bradley. I've worked with those teams. I've seen as they are, as mothers are bringing their sick children and how that Folks from the local churches there will sit down with that mother and take the word of God and show them how they can know Jesus Christ. So that's the type of medical missions you want to be supporting. Because they're working with local pastors and missionaries. And those names, those people who come to those clinics, they're followed up through that local church. And they're seeing thousands of people come to know the Lord and are integrated into a local church. It's not just enough to do social work. We must point them to the Savior. Because that way, they can see the blessings of God. But not only do we see God's blessing, God is blessed. The Lord is blessed. Verse number 3, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Verse 5, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. God desires the praise of His people. We can praise Him tonight. We have. I love to hear the singing, but oh, how I love to hear the Spanish church sing. How they sing their choruses and they sing their hymns. And there are hymns in Spanish that aren't in English, but to hear the singing of the praise of God. I'm sure it's true in Thailand. What's it like to sit in a praise, in a worship service and hear them sing God's praises? I've heard video presentations from Africa and how they're singing, lifting their voices and praising God. God desires that. As we see the need and as we send the gospel, as the gospel, the message is received, folks get saved and the people praise God through worship, praise, honor, and glory. That's why we're here. That's why we're meeting this week. That's why you're in church on Friday night. So that more people in the earth can lift their voices and sing praise to God, because that is the result of sending the gospel. Folks get saved, lives are changed, and God is praised and blessed. That's something I want to be involved in. That's something that I want to be a part of. That's something that we all can be a part of through grace, giving, through praying, and through going. Let's stand to our feet tonight, every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to have a time of invitation. What does God want you to do tonight? What is it that God has touched your... As you were seeing the slides tonight, as you hearing the testimony, as you hear the special music, what is it that God wants you to do? Maybe God touched your life tonight, touched your heart, and reminded you of that neighbor that needs the Lord. As that family member, maybe that coworker. Maybe He put a missionary on your heart tonight. You need to be praying more for him or for her. What does God want you to do tonight? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You that You are God Almighty and that Your desire is that all men should come to know Your Son, Jesus Christ, come to repentance and be saved. Lord, help us to spread that message so they have the opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray.